G'day everyone. My name is Anka and welcome back to episode 2 of The Digital Dilemma, Restoring Wholeness in Spirit, Soul and Body. Today we're going to talk about digital opportunity and the promise of connectivity. So kids are on social media and kids are on their phones, according to research, on a near constant basis. We need to discuss that. Why do some psychologists or therapists say that we should not take away social media from children at all? And why do I do not agree with that statement? I do agree that there is a huge promise of connectivity. I do agree that digital technology has enormous potential to extend the reach and to improve the quality of children's connectivity and children's friendships. I do understand that connected children recognize the potential of digital tools to help them access information and seek solutions to problems. I also understand that children's lives are deeply integrated in the digital environment and that they can have meaningful access to digital technologies. There is no question about the positive effects. There is no question that research is so much easier. There is no denying that our devices can be used for a powerful, powerful way. But the reason why I am here today is to give you the warnings, is to give you maybe the flip side of the coin so that you can also understand that you cannot allow like open season on a child's device, that you can just not give them the device and not be involved in their digital world. So yes, today we're going to talk about the promise of connectivity and why it is so, so dangerous for us to be connected online, or maybe have only friends online, or maybe to have a much more active digital world, but our real world and our real life is going down the hill. So I want to start with the scripture in Genesis 2:18, where God said to Adam that it's not good for Adam to be alone. You must understand that in the creation story that we read in the book of Genesis, 6 times in a row God said, it is good. 6 times he looked at his creation and he said, it's good. But the 7th time God said, it is not good. What was not good? It was not good for Adam to be alone. So yes, we are created for connection. Actually, Adam probably was the most connected person in the history of mankind. Adam had the opportunity to walk with God and talk with God and had like constant connection with God. And even though he was walking with God in the cool of the day, God looked at him and said, but it's not good for Adam to be alone. And that's why he created a helper. So yes, we are, by absolute biology, we are mammals. We are created for a group. We are created for family. And like I said, we are created for this connection and we are created for this bonding. Unfortunately, we see the flip side of the coin as well, where our phones giving us the promise that we are connected. Our phones is giving us the idea or the illusion that we have a lot of friends, that we are popular, that we have a basis of connections and likes and shares. But how much of those friends are true friends? How much of that likes and shares and selfies are real and building us up? And how much of them and their connections and the likes are actually damaging to us? There was an article in a famous newspaper in America, and unfortunately, I cannot remember which newspaper. What I do remember is the crux of the whole article, and it was about the virtual death of nurture. And that article said that adults have allowed the dismantling of a secure base of attachment. The need for connection, support, and nurturing remains unfulfilled, resulting in a mental, emotional, and a spiritual health crisis. And this is really one thing that I do see in the counseling room, that children have an emotional, a mental, and a spiritual health crisis. There was also another article that said that we are creating psychotic junkies. And none of us wants to say or to admit that we, if you are a parent, for example, say that my child is a psychotic junkie. It's a horrible thought. But I want to remind you to say that if you are the one that is buying the phone, if you are the one that is paying for the data and you are paying for the Wi-Fi connection and you are not also the one who is putting in strict boundaries and strict rules with regards to that connectivity, you are actually the one who pushes this drug. You are the one who is allowing this. So you as the parent, for example, if you are the parent, you need to understand what is the emotional, spiritual, and mental health crisis that children are currently facing. Another scripture that really grabs me to the core is also a scripture in Genesis. It's Genesis 4 verse 7. And the story just before that was where Cain killed his brother Abel. And God went to Abel to have a God went to Cain to have a conversation with him. And the reason why God was talking to Cain is, I believe that God was hoping that Cain would repent of his sin. But we know the story is that Cain didn't repent of his sin. And God said a profound thing, and he said, "But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it." Another translation say that you must master over it. And this is my heart to tell you today, that behind every screen, sin is crouching. Sin is crouching at that door. It desires to have you. It desires to have your generation. It desires to have your child. But you must rule over it. And like I said in episode 1, there is no way that we could say in this day and age, just take away the screens or take away the phone or switch off the Wi-Fi. Yes, that is a temporary solution for punishment, for example. Yes, we can take the phones for a day or for a day or two or for a month. But it's not the answer to take away the phone forever, because somewhere they will need their phones again. But you need to understand, like I said, it desires to have you. Sin desires to have you. But you must rule over it. You must understand how much screen time do you have as an individual. And if you are not sure, go and check. When I have a talk at parents' evening, it's also funny to see what the reactions is between a husband and a wife, where I go check your screen time. And then most of them will not realize that they are 4 hours or 5 hours or 6 hours a day on their screens. So you are the one who must rule over your screen time. If there is pornography problem, for example, you are the one who have to rule over that pornography problem. Where there is excessive gaming in the house, you are the one who have to rule over that excessive gaming. Also, the Bible says clearly that we have an enemy, and that enemy walks around like a roaring lion seeking who he can destroy. But the Bible comforts us saying that the devil is under our feet. We should not be ignorant about the schemes of the devil. And this is my heart also for this episode, so that you will not be ignorant about the schemes of the devil, because there are a lot of harms of a life online. Today, I want to give you roughly about 20 of these harms of a life online and dangers of the internet. I'm just going to name them today. And during the course of this podcast, we are going to go into these individual harms one by one, giving you examples, giving you some of the experience that I have in the counseling room. So let's start with them. Number one, we see identity theft, and that it is a massive problem also where you as a parent maybe are posting a lot of your children's life and a lot of pictures of your child online. Maybe you are posting a lot of your own things on Facebook. And how many times we've got this message of a friend or a relative saying, listen, my Facebook profile has been cloned or stolen. Please do not pay over any money. Do not accept any friend request. So this is also a real thing that's happening. Phishing is number two. It is using fakes to attempt to gather personal information. A very good example is if you get an email from your bank claiming that there is a security issue on your account, they ask you to complete the form, attach the form and send it to them. They ask you, for example, for your name, your address, your bank account number. They maybe even ask you for your PIN, and you must be very, very careful. Another warning that I've seen that they've issued very, very recently, saying that if someone phone you, like on your cell phone, and they ask you, can you hear me? And you say, yes, I can hear you. And they will ask you again, but can you hear me? And you say, yes. They say, be very, very careful of conversations like that, because they are recording that yes, and they are using that recording to also to gain access to your bank account or to your personal information. I worked at an old age home for roughly about 5 years before I started on this whole mission of the digital addiction. And one thing that I did see a lot in old age home is this thing of phishing, where they contact the elderly people, where they say that they are from the bank, obviously lying about it, and the old people are none the wiser, and they do fall for these schemes where they say, all right, but just confirm your banking detail for me, just confirm for me your address, just confirm for me your ID, and they might even ask, all right, but just confirm your PIN number for me, and then these elderly people will give this information out. I specifically remember one case where an elderly lady that I know very, very well, that basically her whole pension and all of her money was stolen in the similar way, where she just had to confirm information, and they have basically bankrupt this lady. So please be careful of these phishing schemes. There is a lot out there. Also farming, another scheme where they use fake website to attempt to gather personal information. Again, the other day, I had a very, very famous shoe brand that was putting up an advertisement on Facebook saying that their shoes are 90% marked off, and it looked very, very similar to the real thing. And I know, especially a friend of mine, she bought a pair of these expensive shoes that was still 90% off, but it was still a lot of money. She bought these shoes, she paid over the money, only to realize later that it was a scam. So hacking, we know about hacking is using a computer to gain unauthorized access to data in a system. Hacking is also a very, very real problem in your corporate companies today. So pop-ups, it's when small internet windows that pop up on your screen that can be useful. It can also be annoying or dangerous, often used by advertisers to get your attention or by viruses to trick you into clicking on them. This pop-ups is really, really, really harmful to children as well. The youngest child that I've worked with a porn addiction was 9 years old when the porn addiction started. But when I first see the boy in the counseling room, he was 13 already. By the time he came to the counseling room, he watched porn up to 20 times a day, and he was so horribly addicted. But his porn addiction started with a pop-up. He was on YouTube watching other gamers play on YouTube, and he had a pop-up there at the bottom of the screen, and he said there was a lady asking him, do you want to chat? And initially, he thought, like, yes, I want to chat. I'm 9 years old. And he clicked on that pop-up saying he wanted to chat. And he came across very explicit pornography. So initially, he got a fright by what he saw. And he ran outside and he went to sit on the trampoline. And he was wondering, what did I just see? So we will talk about pornography in the future episodes, and I will share with you and teach you what to do when your child comes across pornography, how to talk to your children, how to talk to youngsters from as young as 5 years old about pornography. So that boy initially, just to get back to the story, he did the right thing. He jumped up. Because that is what you need to teach them. If you come across unwanted sexual content, turn your back to the screen or turn the screen around and run away. And that he did. But the third step is that he must go tell someone. Turn, run, tell. So he did turn away the screen. He did run away, but he didn't tell someone. What he did instead is he came back just to see, what did I just see? He was curious. And he became completely addicted to pornography. So be careful about these pop-ups. And that's also why I say that YouTube channels are very, very dangerous for children. So the seventh danger is pornography and exposure to sexual content that I've just mentioned. And like I said, I will go into detail with regards to that. Cyberbullying, in my opinion, after pornography, cyberbullying is probably the most dangerous thing and the most harmful things. Children are committing suicide today because of cyberbullying, and cyberbullying will also be an episode on its own. But just to give you some research with regards to where we are in South African schools, in October 2023, we've got the research that 250 children roughly have already committed suicide in South Africa. 80 of those were in one province, and the youngest one who committed suicide was 11 years old. So cyberbullying is a huge problem. And we will address cyberbullying on a separate episode. But just for you now to understand that that's also why you need to be involved in your child's cyber life. Just to make sure that maybe there is not harmful content coming in or bullying coming into your child's phone. But also just to make sure that your child is not the bully. It's something that a lot of parents does not want to admit, that their child might be the bully, but you need to have a look. You need to go and check who your children is talking to, what are they saying. Teach them to be kind online. But yes, this is a talk for another day. Also then, another danger of the internet is predators. Huge problem in South Africa. We see that children in South Africa is getting kidnapped at an alarming rate. Human trafficking is a massive problem in South Africa. Some research say that there is a child disappearing in South Africa every 5 minutes. Other research are saying that children are disappearing at an alarming rate, where children get stolen every 2 minutes. So depending on where you are and what country you are listening from, it is still a huge, huge problem. It is one that victimizes, plunders, or destroys, especially for one's own gain. The online predator is a criminal who uses the internet to steal personal information or search for victims. Crimes that involve online predators include identity theft, stalking, kidnapping, and child sexual abuse. That's also something that we will discuss later. Posting is where sharing of information or photos can be used to track your location, also known as geotagging, like where you live, revealing things that can be made public and you can never make them private again. Risky online behaviors includes visiting sites with content intended for adults like pornography, sending or receiving sexually explicit images, having sexual conversations with adults, posting personal information about yourself or others, providing financial information to insecure sites, visiting sites with smart feeds or recommendations that continue to provide content automatically. That is, for example, YouTube, who uses the algorithm. And also we're going to talk about how algorithm-driven social media sites is very, very harmful to children. Another risky online behavior is accepting friend requests from strangers on social media, sharing your address or current locations with others online, having public profiles that can be viewed by anyone, creating social media accounts that parents are not aware of, using gaming applications or services that allow chats or unmonitored communication, and then have access to accounts where unmonitored purchases can be made. These are all just a few of the online risky behaviors. My heart is to just dissect them one by one and to discuss each and every one of these problems, sharing stories about what I do see in the counseling room, but also at the end of the day, giving you hope that even though there is this lots of risky behaviors online and that there is dangers on the internet, there is also a way how to navigate these online behaviors very, very safely. There are five most general internet addictions. One is a social media addiction, 2, compulsive internet addiction, 3, an obsession after gather information, 4, is an internet gaming addiction, and lastly, and probably the worst of them all, is a cyber sex or a cyber porn addiction. I want to close today with a scripture from 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. It says, "Everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial." I want to end today's podcast with a scripture from 1 Corinthians 6 verse 12. It says that everything is permissible for me, but not everything is beneficial. And it continues by saying that I will not be mastered by anything. Please understand that we are allowed these digital devices and we can go on all these digital platforms. And yes, maybe it is permissible, but the question is it beneficial? And are you mastered by this? Thank you very much for joining me on this podcast, and I hope to see you soon on the next one. Have an amazing day.